you like songs crooned in a lazy way, why don't you swing with that rhythmic sway? And Mr. Sun will warm your bones all day. Get it Southern style. If you like cornbread that no one can beat, chicken pie that tastes like a candied sweet, and you lick your chops every time you eat, get it Southern style. If you like pale moon shining on the fields below, the bales of cotton piled row on row, and steamboats on the delta make your heart a melt to shout, oh Mississippi, draw me closer, where every girl's a pretty melody, every skyscraper's just a tree, and serve the best in hospitality, get it Southern style. Shining on the fields below, the bales of cotton piled row on row, as steamboats on the delta make your heart a melt to shout, oh Mississippi, draw me closer, where every girl's a pretty melody, every skyscraper's just a tree, and serve the best in hospitality, get it Southern style. Get it Southern style.
Greetings, ragtime aficionados of the past, present, and future. My name is Ethan Uslan, and you're listening to the Carolina Shout, the podcast in which I play piano here in my house and talk about the music a little bit. What you just heard was an obscure old song called Get It Southern Style. On vocals was Laura Windley of the Mint Julep Jazz Band of Durham, North Carolina. She came to my house way back last summer, and we made some recordings, which I've been playing on various podcast episodes, sprinkling them in here and there to add a bit of pizzazz. That was the last recording from our batch, so hopefully Laura can come back soon so we can replenish our supply. And that tune, Get It Southern Style, was first recorded by Barney Bigard and his Jazzipators in 1936 with Duke Ellington on piano. The composer of the song was a fellow named Henry Nemo. Henry Nemo got his start writing jazz songs in the 30s and then later rose to prominence in the field of hipster jive speak. Perhaps his greatest accomplishment was coining the catchphrase, "Sorry, Charlie," which was immortalized in Starkist tuna commercials. I know that sounds fishy, but there's a YouTube video put out by Starkist that tells you everything you want to know about Charlie the hipster tuna, and they explicitly say, Henry Nemo contributed the phrase, "Sorry, Charlie." Although when they showed a photograph of Henry Nemo, they screwed up and used a photograph of an actor named Martin Priest. So Starkist needs some help finding Nemo. Sorry, just wanted to share some music with you. Now I'm making bad fish jokes. I don't know how this happened. We need some kind of transition so I can get back on track. There we go. Thank you. Just what I needed. Now, some of you may remember a few episodes back, I dedicated an episode to puzzle songs. Well, I had so much material for that episode, I actually had to make some cuts. So I thought today I'd find a few extra puzzle pieces that I have laying around the house so as to complete the puzzle. One of the puzzle pieces that got cut was the Puzzle Polka, which goes all the way back to 1864, when the Civil War was raging, and the only thing the North and South seemed to have in common was a mutual love of polka music. The Puzzle Polka was published in Philadelphia, and on the sheet music cover, there's a maze. Above the maze, it reads, "Designed by James Swaim for the Sanitary Fair." Sanitary fairs were giant fundraisers held in northern states during the Civil War. They were basically giant expos that would charge admission, and the profits would go to the United States Sanitary Commission, which was a private relief agency for wounded Union soldiers. So this little puzzle polka I'm about to play for you, it may sound rather more old-fashioned than the old-fashioned music you are accustomed to hearing me play, but please listen respectfully to the puzzle polka. It was for a good cause. Okay, here it is, the Puzzle Polka by E. Mack. It doesn't say anywhere on the music what the E stands for. Maybe it's Ethan. So that was the Puzzle Polka from 1864, composed to help the wounded Union soldiers. Although I should point out that the puzzle of the Puzzle Polka is actually a maze. Is a maze technically a puzzle? I don't know. Where's Puzzle Master Will Shorts when you need him? Should I call him again? He was kind enough to do a whole episode with me already. I'm going to leave him alone today. Let him enjoy his summer. He's probably on vacation anyway. But if he's listening to this podcast, I'll just say this. Will, I hope you like the Puzzle Polka. Please keep listening because I have one more puzzle piece for you. This is called Piano Puzzle, and it's from 1923, which, as you already know, was the year crossword puzzles became really hot. And many songs started appearing with crossword puzzle themes in the lyrics. Piano Puzzle doesn't have any words, so I guess we can call it a crossword puzzle tone poem. Its composer was Ralph Reichenthal, who later changed his name to Ralph Ranger, and rose to become a prolific songwriter for Hollywood in the 1930s. His most famous hit was Thanks for the Memory, the big Bob Hope song. Tragically, at the height of his career, Ranger died in a plane crash over Palm Springs, California, cutting short a brilliant career. Piano Puzzle is one of his earlier published pieces, and I think it's an absolutely superb composition. And like a good puzzle, it's a challenge for the piano player to figure out how to play it. but it's very rewarding once you get it. And I don't think it's very puzzling to listen to. You can tap your foot to it and easily follow the melody. Here it is, Piano Puzzle by Ralph Reichenthal, also known as Ralph Ranger. So that was Piano Puzzle by Ralph Reichenthal. You couldn't see it, of course, but my fingers were going across and down and across and down, all over a black and white grid. Also, I felt like my fingers were frantically running around in a twisty maze. I suppose that's what one should expect when one plays a piece called Piano Puzzle. Could have been worse. I could have been playing the infamous 18th century French piece entitled Piano Guillotine. That piece is scary. I'd play it for you now, but honestly, I don't have the chops. Okay, we're going to step away from the puzzle music now. I had a request via Twitter to play Heaven Will Protect the Working Girl. This request was from Dax King, who also requested the Hold Up Rag, which I played previously on the train-themed episode. Dax King, you have requested great songs. It is a pleasure to play them for you. But before I play your request this time, you know me, I need to talk about it a little bit. Heaven Protect the Working Girl was a pretty big hit in 1909. It's one of those songs that has a plot, kind of tells a story. The first time I heard this, I didn't quite get it, mainly because there was a vocabulary word in there that I didn't know, and it kind of confused me. The word was demitasse. Demitasse. Not a word I hear or use often. Do you know what a demitasse is? Well, it's a coffee cup. Got it? Demitasse, coffee cup. Good SAT word. It's important that you know that to get this song. If you already knew what a demitasse is, well, you're smarter than me. Congratulations, smarty pants. Go pat yourself on the back, or as you probably would say it, go pat yourself on the rhomboideus minor. Okay, here it is. Heaven Will Protect the Working Girl from 1909. I should mention that I like to get professional singers when possible, but in this case I couldn't make it happen. It's the summer, everybody's on vacation, taking it slow, so you're just going to have to bear with me. I'm going to do the best I can. A village maid was leaving home, with tears her eyes were wet. Her mother dear was standing near the spot. She says to her, "Neuralgia dear, I hope you won't forget that I'm the only mother you have got. The city is a wicked place, as anyone can see, and cruel dangers round your path may hurl. So every week you better send your wages back to me, for heaven will protect a working girl. You are going far away, but remember what I say when you are in the city's giddy whirl. From temptations, crimes, and follies, villains, taxi cabs, and trolleys, oh, heaven will protect a working girl." Her dear old mother's words proved true, for soon the poor girl met a man on whom her ruin was intent. He treated her respectful, as those villains always do, and she supposed he was a perfect gent. But she found different when one night she went with him to dine into a restaurant so blithe and gay. And he says to her, "After this, we'll have a demi-tasse." Then to him these brave words the girl did say: "Stand back, villain! Go your way, here I will no longer stay, although you are a marquis or an earl. You may tempt the upper classes with your villainous demi-tasses, but heaven will protect a working girl. Stand back, villain!"
Well, I hope you found that as funny as I did. Aren't you glad you know what a demi-tasse is? Or else you could end up like our tragic heroine, Neuralgia, making a big fool of yourself at a fancy restaurant. So the music to that song was by Alfred Baldwin Sloan, who is totally forgotten today, but in his time, he was a successful guy. He churned out scores for about 50 musical comedies between 1895 and 1920. Alfred Baldwin Sloan also went by A. Baldwin Sloan or A.B. Sloan. Now, some of you might be thinking, hey, that name's familiar, but you're probably getting him mixed up with Alfred P. Sloan, who is the CEO of General Motors and who funded the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation. Occasionally, you'll hear, "The following was funded by a grant from the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation." Well, that's Alfred P. Sloan, and we are not concerned with him nor his foundation. We are gathered here to honor Alfred B. Sloan. So here's another Alfred B. Sloan song. And again, this one tells a story. It's from the wonderful year of 1899. And the 1890s were all about these epic story songs. And this song is much more epic in scope than perhaps any other song I've ever heard. It's called "While Waiting for the Change, a Department Store Ditty." Lyrics by Glenn McDonough and music by the ever so delightful Alfred Baldwin Sloan.
On the 32nd floor of a large department store, it was first that James and Evelina met. They had each a purchase made and had each a purchase paid, and for change they both were waiting there to get. Although strangers were these two, the hours so quickly flew, so fierce the flirtation that they waged, that the question James did pop, and before they left the shop, youthful James and Evelina were engaged. It occurred while they were waiting for the change. Very odd, very strange, but it happened to these two, just as I am telling you. It occurred while they were waiting for the change. Darling, let us haste and wed, James to Evelina said, for to marry we need not to journey far. So pray come with me, my love, some 15 floors above, we will find the matrimonial bazaar. Then they gaily sped away. Weddings were reduced that day, for the store had somewhat overstocked the line. And the wedding that they got was the bargain of the lot, $50 just marked down from 89. It occurred while they were waiting for the change. Very odd, very strange. But it happened to these two, just as I am telling you. It occurred while they were waiting for the change. While the seasons waxed and waned, James and Eva still remained, living quietly in that large department store. In the basement underground, a furnished flat they had found, 62 that day, reduced from 94. Undisturbed and unfazed, quite a family they raised, young boys that quickly rose to man's estate. Their folks turned old and gray as time ran on its way, and all they did was to wait and wait and wait. It occurred while they were waiting for the change. Very odd, very strange, but it happened to these two, just as I am telling you. It occurred while they were waiting for the change. At last, matters reached a stage where they passed away through age, and their relatives thus cruelly bereft. They were disconsolate and grieved, for they reasonably believed that there had not been a single penny left. But their woe came to a stop when the owner of the shop handed them $10,000 and a half. With the compound interest thrown, to that sum their change had grown. So James and Eve received this epitaph. It occurred while they were waiting for the change. Very odd, very strange. They were 20 when 'twas due, when they died at 82. Their great-grandsons came and got the change.
All right. There was a lot going on in that story. Starts out as a tale of love at first sight, turns into a story about an interesting alternative lifestyle, and then there's that kicker at the end to remind us that good things come to those who wait. Very juicy. You know, there are a lot of good story songs like that from the 1890s. That era was the golden age of the narrative ballad. Often they were very over-the-top, melodramatic, very sappy, and sometimes they were very funny. I hope to do more of them in the future, if you'll let me. But not today. Time to roll the credits. Thanks for listening. The Carolina Shout podcast is recorded at the Uslin Living Room in Charlotte, North Carolina. Ethan Uslin is the pianist and host. Kate Uslin does the recording engineering and the cool behind-the-scenes stuff. Thanks to Laura Windley of the Mint Julep Jazz Band for singing Get It Southern Style. Thanks to Dax King for requesting Heaven Protect the Working Girl. And thanks to our new intern, Neuralgia, who has been really, really helpful. You'll be happy to hear that Neuralgia has fully recovered from the embarrassing demi-tasse incident at that fancy restaurant. And she knows her way around Starbucks like you wouldn't believe. Neuralgia, dear, can you fetch me a venti iced skinny hazelnut macchiato? Sugar-free syrup, extra shot, light ice, no whip? Thank you, Neuralgia. You're a dear. Can I call you Neural for short? Oh, and while you're heading over there, why don't you get Kate her daily grande iced vanilla latte with soy milk, half sweet, 2% foam, quad, one whip, three pumps, two mocha shots, caramel drizzle. See if you can make it half calf too, okay? Thanks. You're the best, Neuralgia. We appreciate you. Also, I wanted to let you know about a campaign I'm taking part in called Two Pods a Day. It aims to introduce podcast listeners to two independent podcasts every day for the month of August. We hope to give visibility to some of the great indie podcasts that you probably haven't heard of. Hashtag Two Pods a Day encourages you to listen more. Listen indie. Find more shows like mine by following hashtag Two Pods a Day on Twitter and Facebook.